Anytime you find reason not to do what you are supposed to do for the Lord, it's a sign to you that your love for God is not enough. Anytime the Spirit of the Lord is leading you to share Christ to someone, and you find it difficult to share Christ with another person, it's a sign to you that your love for God is not enough. Anytime your service to God is hindered, it's not a sign to God. And you know, the attitude of God understands does not exist in God. God doesn't need to understand. God doesn't need an. When you say God understands, you have insulted God. God doesn't need it. He doesn't need to understand. It is you that needs to grow in understanding. So you see, we have an attitude towards God. The society has an attitude towards God. That when it comes to God, God doesn't deserve the best of sacrifice. It has been woven into our system. I share the scripture, Proverbs 16, verse 7. All right. It says, when a man makes a decision that pleases God, the Passion Translation. So when a man makes a decision that pleases God, grace is activated. That his friends will be at peace with him. His enemies will be at peace with him. I want to make decisions on your feet now concerning your love towards God. Do you really love God? Do you really love God? What is the extent of your love towards God? What is the intensity of your love? You don't know that most of the decisions you make in your life, they are proofs. They either approve or disapprove your love towards God. There are people, you know, when you are held accountable and you get offended for being held accountable in the service of the Lord, listen, you are proving and disapproving whether you love the Lord or you don't love the Lord. Do you really love the Lord? Talk about friends and family Sunday. You're supposed to be in service. And you're supposed to talk to friends, talk to people. Listen, when you love God, you love people. When you truly love God, no matter how stubborn people will be, no matter how unloving people will be, you would never give up on them. Why? Because the love of God is shed abroad in your heart. He said, many waters cannot quench. So when you truly love God, no amount of water can quench that love. There are things you do because you think that that is who you are. No. Does it demonstrate how much you love God? There is something interesting about you showing love to God. Listen, the love you show towards God, this is what it does to you. It doesn't benefit God. How many of you are born again? Yeah. Yeah, just lift your hands. I just want you to lift your hands. You are born again. You know you are born again. I can't see your hands. You are not confident about being born again. Didn't you hear what others are doing that they are born again? Didn't you hear them shouting they are born again? Let me see your hand. You are born again. Now, the Bible says that you can put your hands down. When you become born again, you come into Christ. Now, the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. He said, all things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. He went ahead to talk about this born again person. And he said, for God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. Then he said, now, God has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Now, as you are standing there, God has given to you a ministry. It's called the ministry of reconciliation. Now, talk to somebody, talk to the brother, talk to the sister. Say, you, as beautiful as you are, as young as you are, as you see yourself as you are, whatever you think about yourself, God has given to you a ministry. Brother, sister, God has given to you a ministry of reconciliation. God has given to you the ministry of reconciliation. The question is, how do you fulfill that ministry? You can't can't wake up to fulfill that ministry. In this environment, as assignments are given to you, as you are made a Life Connect leader, as you are asked to join a Life Connect, as you are involved in winning people to church, as you are involved in following up on people, as you are involved in the music team, as you are involved in playing the keyboard, as you see, you are contributing to the ministry of reconciliation. As you are ushering, you are contributing to the ministry of reconciliation. It is not one-sided. It's not just winning souls. It's not just following up on the souls. It is also being in church and serving, doing something beyond, you know, winning souls, doing follow-up, and then doing something. Don't take any responsibility given to you in the Lord for granted. I say this to you from the depths of my heart. Don't take any responsibility given to you, because, listen, every responsibility given to you exposes you to the supply of grace. You know, some of you working in the music team, some of you in the ushering department, some of you in the technical unit, you don't understand, you don't know that when responsibilities are given to you, the Holy Ghost, it is the work of the Spirit. Everything you do in God is the work of the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost gives you grace. He gives you grace. Grace does not come alone. Grace comes with favor. Grace comes with favor. So let the love of God guide you in your service towards God. Now I want you to make decisions right now. The extent you want to demonstrate His love, make that decision now. Talk to the Holy Ghost. You are speaking tongues. You can talk to Him. Say, sweet Holy Ghost, I'm in this together with you. I'm in this together with you. I'm in this together with you. I take you serious. I take what you do serious. I take your work serious. I take your assignment serious. I love you. And I prove that love. I prove that love. I demonstrate that love. No amount of water, no attitude, no mannerism, no behavior, nothing can quench that love, oh God. I cause that love to burn. I make that love burn. I allow that love to burn in my heart. You mean more than this world to me, you mean more than this world, you mean more than this world, oh, to me. Thank you, Jesus. The amount of God's love in your heart, the amount of God's love in your heart influences the extent you can go for God. You know what God is looking for? God is looking for lovers. And you know, one of the things that helps your love for God to be concentrated is submission. When love has not found authority to submit to, it cannot yield fruit. No matter how, you know, God loved you, God has to submit Himself. Anytime love has to be demonstrated, there must be submission. You know, pride is not a fruit of love. Pride is the fruit of yourself. Is the Holy Ghost talking to you? Pride is the proof of yourself. Most of the times, a lot of decisions we make, we don't know we make those decisions because we are proud. Signs of pride. Pride. For example, when someone is inviting you to church and you decide not to attend, you see, you are demonstrating pride. As a love, is always demonstrated in submission. But you don't even know you're demonstrating pride. Anytime you decide to do what you want than what God wants you to do, you are proud. And the Bible says that God resists the proud and he giveth grace to the humble. It's not what you want. It's what God wants to do with your life. Do you hear what I'm saying? Your choices, do they please God? Now listen. I told you, you see, when your choices are not fulfilling divine purpose, already it's not in sync with God. When you insist on it, when you insist on doing things that don't contribute to the dream of God, you are on your own. To be the Lord of your own life is so expensive and costly. Life is better when it's fully submitted to God. The reason God wants you is because he wants your life to be fruitful. He wants your life to yield fruit. What you need to do is to let go your ego. Let it down. God has a plan for your life. Hey, say, God has a plan for my life. Some people are not talking. Say, God has a plan for my life. Say, God has a plan for my life. He has purposed it himself. He has purposed it in himself for me before the foundation of the earth. I told you, I said, love becomes fruitful when it comes under submission. You see, for Jesus to demonstrate the highest love of the universe, he demonstrated the highest love. He must submit himself to death. And you know, love doesn't always look comfortable. Love is not comfortable for the lover. It's comfortable for the one that enjoys the love. Those of you serving in the music department, you know, see it as an art of love. It's an art of love. Those of you serving the ushering department, see it as an act of love. If you come for service and you come and sit quietly and you enjoy the meeting and you go, you know, nobody's going to insult you. Do you know that? Hey, talk to me. Ushers. You know, if you had come, Goldie, if you had come for service quietly and you sit somewhere in the front, is anybody going to insult you? Is anybody going to rebuke you? Is any of the members that come around and you tell them to sit here, anybody going to do to you? Nobody's going to chuckle at you. Nobody's going to disrespect you. But because you love the Lord, you must serve the Lord. And because you serve the Lord, you expose yourself to offenses. But your response must be in love. At times it will break you. Because you look at the person insulting you. Probably the person cry, has not even taken the bath and has come to church. I will insult you. But see it as an act of love. If you are born again, you must look for an opportunity to demonstrate God's love. Listen, you would even have, your leaders, maybe if you are working in the ushering department, you know,
today when I was coming in, I was coming in with Dinah, I think I was the one delaying her from the back, but it doesn't matter. When she got there, I was taking her time walking, and I saw her, and I said, "Ten, hurry up!" No, she has to change her movement. And I was like, "Good, man." I behaved that I was not with her.
Assuming she was coming to the church as how some of you had come to service, she had not submitted herself under authority. So she would not be held accountable. She would not be disciplined. She would not be queried. Not anything, nothing. But as long as, you see, to serve means you love. So love must be worked out before it is identified as love. Assuming she was coming to church, had not submitted her love to authority, just came to service, came to sit down quietly, she closed, she leaves. When she's coming, nobody's going to tell her, hurry up. When she comes late, her leader will know they're responsible. Nobody's going to demand of her to wake up to pray. Nobody will demand. There are times when the ushers will be having prayer meetings or something. Is it always comfortable? Ushers.
the prayer meeting you do, the prayer all night, or is it all night, or with early morning prayer, or whichever time prayer, I don't know whether you have stopped or you still do it. But when you were doing it, it was so comfortable. It was comfortable. So funny. It's always comfortable coming to arrange the place at 9 p.m. It's not comfortable. What time do you get home sometimes? So the earliest time you've gotten home on Saturday. Imagine after you've done that, they come on the following day, then maybe you come late and you're held accountable. Maybe Pastor Mitchell go like, so funny, this thing cried that you couldn't do well.
So you must understand that to love the Lord and to serve Him is always not going to be comfortable. It's not for your comfort. And do you know that people that live in their comfort are not remembered by the society? Anyone that lives in his or her comfort does not leave any legacy and does not make any impact. Impact and legacy are born out of discomfort.
Now, let me explain something to you. So I used that as case study. I was like, imagine I'm Benjamin Mensah, and Benjamin Mensah is Apostle Benny. So Apostle Benjamin Mensah and Benjamin Ebisanza.
Because of his impact, everybody wants to celebrate him. People celebrate impact. That's what it is in heaven. Whatever God wills on earth, that's how it is in heaven. That's how it is in the books of God. Now, even if the entire CC community will not celebrate him, the people, his ministry, you know, he's a great minister. So, using Benny and myself as example, the difference in our celebration is because of impact. What are you doing with your time for the Lord? You want generations to respond to you. If the heavens only respond to you by prayer, your impact is not of much weight enough in heaven. The heavens must respond to you by impact. If heavens responds to you only by prayer, only when you pray, your name must have a sound in heaven. Listen, I told some people, I said, we've passed that level of our lives where all we are doing is shouting how we are going to do big things for God. If you are still doing it till now, if now you are still shouting how you're going to do big things for God, you are behind time. Because we are now in the season. We are now in the season. The appearing of our Lord is closer than ever. If you don't take care, you'll be shouting, I'm going to do this for God. I'll do this for God. By the time you realize Jesus appeared, he just said, yeah, blessing, God. He was going to tell you, yeah, brother. Imagine you're not winning souls, and the day you decide that, Lord, I'm going to serve you. No, God will not tell you I'm coming. No. I'm going to serve you. And you step out, you have carried your Bible, you're going to preach, and help you. You are gone. You are just raptured. We are all gone. We are just taken away. Brother, you leave your Bible. The soul will not follow you up there to go and pray to him. We are running out of time to impact our world. Yes, we may have all the time. We can compress time and all that. Day approaches closer than the days of prayer. It's time to go all out to love the Lord. You know, I may not go into details because it's not so, but it's necessary. I came in, when I sat down and they're talking about friends and families, the Holy Ghost says, I just, let me find out the statistics of number of young people that are introduced into terrorism per year. I was amazed. And how? It's just network of friends. Because you can never know where terrorists camp. It's not in the open space. It's through the network of friends. Thousands of young people are introduced into terrorism die for no cause. They die for no cause. More young people are being exposed and introduced into the destruction of lives of nations. About more than 5,000 people die out of terrorist attack every year. A majority of terrorists are under 30. They are below a 30. Osama Bin Laden did not become a terrorist as an old man. He started as a young man. And all they use their money, people, you realize, they finance. All their savings is because they want to make the world. They want to cover the earth with the knowledge of Christ. Can you make that covenant with God? Can you make that covenant with God today? They want to cover the earth with the knowledge of Christ. Can you make that agreement with God today that God, for the growth of the gospel, you can depend on me? Because, see, sometimes you think your life is in any other thing. Let me show you some few scriptures. Your life has been written. What your life is about, it has been stated. Vegezata kabadosh. Come on, pray in tongues. So vrege dagaza. Korabadagadabaya. Paroso sezeve. Kavalaba shanda radagaya. Paraba sonda gradaba. Reforso satakaba.
One shame from so enemy in thee. One mighty patchy embio. Mede wae. Rebre o. O. Maje. Majikwa pa.
Wan sheme fom so. Eni mi endi. Wamari pa. A shimi yo. Miti wa yeji. Rebre o.
Psalm 139. Obiaranseo Unyami yoinu
Obiaranseo
Obiaranseo
Obiaranseo Unyami yoinu Obiaranseo
Psalm 139, verse 1. Lord, you know everything there is to know about me.
Hi.
You perceive every movement of my heart and soul. And you understand my every thought before it even enters my mind. You are so intimately aware of me. Passion Translation. Lord, you read my heart like an open book. And you know all the words I'm about to speak before I even start a sentence. Lord, you read my heart like an open book. And you know all the words I'm about to speak before I even start a sentence. You know every step I will take before my journey even begins. You've gone into my future to prepare the way. And in kindness, you follow me behind. Can you shout glory? Hey! Why are you scared of your future? You didn't design your future. God designed it. So what you need actually is to align yourself to God's word. I told you last time, I said, identify yourself in scripture. You know, like a movie. You know, there's a way I watch my movie. I don't watch movies. I don't like suspense. No, I don't like suspense. If you put me in suspense, you can't put me in suspense. It will even be difficult to put me in suspense. Yes. And if you put me in suspense, the thing will lose value because I will not think about it. You see? Because I don't give room for anything to take over my anxiety, whether joyful. No. I must be the master in my world. If it has to do with me, I must know. That's why it always takes a lot to surprise me. Because as you are doing, I'm just fixing the puzzle. Sometimes you have to allow people to surprise you. But so when I'm watching a movie, I like spoiler alert. I like it. You see, some people, when you tell them the movie, like, no, me, tell me. When you tell me, I watch. Tell me how the killer died. Tell me how the good guy survived. So when I'm watching a movie and I realize that, maybe there's a character in the movie, I enjoy that character, and it looks like everybody wants to kill the character, and the character is struggling, I have to quickly move to the end of the movie to see this. Oh, he will not die. I was like, oh, he will not die. Then I come back. So when I come back, whatever they do to the guy, I knew that he will know what. So I'm just comfortable. See, the Bible is a spoiler alert. When you identify yourself in God's scripture, in God's word, you know how your life is played out. You know how your life is played out. That's how I watch movies. You know, that's some of the brethren here, they don't like how I watch movies. But you can't change it. Why should I give my heart? They've acted a movie. Now I want me to give my heart, my emotions. No. That's a football. I don't like watching live football. After the game, when I know the scores, I'll decide whether to watch or not to watch. Like the man they scored my team plenty. I don't watch that match. You see? I know the end. You know, that's how God is. God knows the end from the beginning. And how do we? He declared it. Now, because we have God's word, we can declare the end from the beginning. I'm watching a movie, me, I just jump. I will skip. So I don't watch movie in fear. I don't watch movie in doubt. I don't watch movie. That's why there's a movies. It's 2014. I watch it like it's today. I will never run to cinema to go and watch a movie. No. That one there. Abana obi ashe we met team once. So you can give me all the story. Because we don't assume. Listen, we don't assume in life. In life, you don't have to assume. Life is not guess. Guesswork. No. God even doesn't want you to guess. He doesn't want you to assume. That's why God spoils the thing for you. He tells you before you. He doesn't want to keep you in suspense. God doesn't keep us in suspense. You see? Now, David knew how Goliath was going to die. It was not a suspense for him. But those who did not know, who had not given their minds, their hearts to what God is able to do, they were in fear. They were anxious. They were in doubt. But not David. You know, the first thing he asked, why is this guy insulting and doing? No. He said, what shall be given to the man who kills? What shall I be given? What is the reward? He was going for reward. He was not interested in the fear. How long has the guy been trained? No, no, no. You are living a life full of fear. You know, you are scared of how your life is going to be if I give this to God. Well, no, 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 not me. Hey, dead. Hey, if I serve the Lord, if I serve the Lord, how am I? No, no, nothing takes the space of God in my life. Nothing can ever. I was telling some leaders, maybe this weekend or last the camp. I said, don't let poverty direct your heart. I said, don't allow poverty to direct your life. Don't allow lack to direct your life. Don't allow hunger to direct your life. People have become thieves because of hunger. Not because they were born thieves. Hunger. Hunger can move you out of God. That's why we desire to prosper by divine wisdom. Now, until the time of the full manifestation of our prosperity, we have another tool. God has given us another tool. It's called contentment. Nothing moves us out of divine plan. Nothing moves us out of God's agenda. Nothing moves us out. No amount. Nothing. If you pay me $10,000 and it will move me away, $10,000 and it will move me away from being fruitful to the Lord, the only thing you take away from me, I know I have no life, is ministry. Now, ministry not just coming to preach to you, but ensuring, contributing to the fulfillment of God's dream. Any other thing? Because God's dream is bigger than anything. Is the Lord talking to you? Every service day is the time to make decisions. So today, make decision. It's time to be released to the next level. You see, every time you're coming to church, don't have the attitude that I'm just coming. No, it's time to move to the next level. Because the word of God is what will carry you to a new level. The word of God is what will set you up on your feet to your next level. The next level of faith. The next level of grace. The next level of miracles. The next level of results. The next level of impact. Next level. Ha ha ha. Oh, glory! Come on, shout it, glory! Say today. Say today. I have arrived in another level. In a new dimension. The word of God is catapulting me to the place of impact. To my place of greatness. Glory to God. Verse 5. See what it says. He says, you've gone into my future to prepare the way. Hey! See, think on it. You've gone into my future to prepare the way. So every day of my life, listen, I'm not a mistake. Every day of my life, every step I take that pleases God, every step of faith is closer to my greatness. Every step of faith. I always thank God. The day I denied that opportunity to become a youth pastor in a particular ministry that they were using money to come, and they said, I don't want you to be a youth pastor, and they will give me money and a car, and you know. I completed secondary school afresh. We were sitting in this hammer. Whoa. They spray on their body alone. My goodness. Came to park in our school. The day I knew I rejected that offer, I knew I had taken a step closer to greatness. Yeah. You don't have to become something. You have to become what God has designed. Do you hear what I said? You don't have to become just anything. You have to become what God has designed. If you give yourself to the systems of the world will push you, squeeze you to a place God has not designed for you. Everybody said he has been designed to be great. Designed to lead an army of champions. Ha! Did you hear that? I said you have been designed to lead an army of champions. That's what you've been designed for. You've been designed to lead an army of champions. I'm not scared of the future. I have the word of God, which is a spoiler alert. I know the future. I know tomorrow. In fact, not spoiler alert, it's the spoiler. I'm the spoiler alert. I'm telling you that the word of God is a spoiler.
it spoils the fun of anxiety, spoils the anxiety, spoils the suspense, spoils the fear, spoils the doubt. The word of God, it spoils the obscurity. All the scenes are played out. The word of God is not a trailer. It's not a trailer that gives you an excerpt. No, it's a full movie. Can play and play the stories of others. So when you grow in the knowledge of God's word, see, and you understand what God is up to, you understand the story of others. You know the end of others. Like, I can tell your end. I can tell your tomorrow. Because I understand what is in the book. Daniel looked into the books and he saw the destiny of Israel. He knew it was time for Israel to move out. So he went into prayer. See, you cannot enforce what you don't know. You've gone into my future to prepare the way, and in kindness, you follow behind me. Do you see God? He's not leaving you alone. He's together with you. As you're going wayward, he reminds you, like today, the Lord is reminding you. Some of you have gone far, have been distracted. The Lord is reminding you. Some of you are about to fall into a trap. A trap where you become a slave to the systems of this world. The Lord is reminding you. You must be, see, when you know that this is where my future is, this is how God has directed my path, you stand by the principle. You don't bow to Baal. You don't bow to Baal. Doesn't matter the tree they're going into. You can't take my Sunday from me. No. You just can't. You can't take my church meeting from me. It has been that from day one. Not because I'm a pastor. It's been that from day one. One time when we were in school, someone asked, what if you are supposed to write exams on Sunday? I said, they should take their exams. We made wild decisions long ago, not today. I like the man of God tells me that, even that one, he has to convince me. I'm going to write BEC on a Sunday evening, the morning to Sunday evening. I was in a church program. I got back home around 11. I had exam Sunday early in the morning. It's a Monday early in the morning. Then I was going to write BEC. No SSC that you say that many, no BEC. It wouldn't have changed if it was my visa. Going for visa, then the whole world should be on hot. You are going to somebody's country. So then we should wait. God should wait. Kavarata. You understand that you don't know the consequence of your decisions. You don't know the weight of your decisions. Anytime I'm giving an offer, anytime someone is talking to you about something, the first question I ask is, how does it affect God? How does it affect God's dream? Because the scariest thing in my life is to be away from God's plan. To be out of God's agenda. Because God's heart gravitates. All of God gravitates towards agenda. Any other thing anybody enjoys is not the main thing. God's resources gravitate towards agenda. I've told you a couple of times, when other children were being killed in Egypt, in Israel, what did God do? When Herod was killing, what did he do? He came to Joseph at midnight. The angel of the Lord appeared and spoke to him in a dream. He said, carry the child Jesus, take him to Egypt. God didn't go to another person's mother. He went to Jesus' father. He said, go. He didn't even go to Mary, because he knew Mary is not the head. He said, carry the child, take him. The greatest of God's preservation, the greatest, all of God gravitate towards the agenda. See what David was saying, verse 6. This is just too wonderful, deep, and incomprehensible. Your understanding of me brings me wonder and strength. Verse 14. He says, I thank you, God, for making me so mysteriously complex. Everything you do, it's marvelously breathtaking. It simply amazes me to think about it. How thoroughly you know me, Lord.
You even formed every bone in my body when you created me in the secret place. He said, carefully, skillfully, you shaped me from nothing to something. Verse 16. He said, you saw who you created me to be before I became me. You saw who you created me to be before I became me. You see what I don't do with God? So God says, this is the way. Brother, it doesn't matter if the whole world is collapsing around me. I stand. This is the way. You saw who you created me to be before I became me. Before I would ever see the light of day, the number of days you planned for me were already recorded in your book. So David said, teach me how to number my days. Because the number of his days were already recorded in his book. So even God, when he became flesh, the Bible says, in the volume of your book, I have come to do thy will, O God. The details of your life has been written. Not by your mother, not by your father, by God. When you choose the way of God, you've chosen the path of success. Listen, that way of God will not always please the people around you. It will not always please your mother. It will not always please your father. It will not always please your uncle. It will not please your teacher. It will not please your friends. It will not please your siblings. It is the way of God. Men judge men by their understanding. God deals with men by the understanding of how he has made them. Every man's understanding may be limited until that understanding is knitted with God's word. Growing up, there was this man of God that prophesied. He was a senior brother. He spoke of me, made prophecies in a meeting. You know, the things he said, in his mind, he had a picture, but God's picture was bigger. So when he saw that, what I was embarking on was not as the interpretation he has received. He thought I was not going the way of God. But then I had to come to understand that the ways of God are bigger. God does not do things by your interpretation. Ephesians 1. Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm has already been lavished upon us, verse 3, as a love gift from our wonderful heavenly Father, the Father of our Lord Jesus, all because he sees us wrapped into Christ. This is why we celebrate him with all our hearts. And in love, he chose us before he laid the foundation of the universe. Because of his great love, he ordained us so that we would be seen as holy in his eyes with an unstained innocence. For it was always in his perfect plan to adopt us as his delightful children through our union with Jesus, the Anointed One. Let me read to you from the Message Translation. How blessed is God, and what a blessing he is. He's the Father of our Master Jesus Christ and takes us to the high place of blessing in him. Long before he laid down earth's foundations, he had us in mind, had settled on us as the focus of his love. To be made whole and holy by his love. Long, long ago, he decided to adopt us into his family through Jesus Christ. What pleasure he took in planning this. That's what I want to focus on. What pleasure. It was God's pleasure to plan you, to plan your life. What pleasure he took in planning this. He wanted us to enter into the celebration of his lavish gifts given by the hand of his beloved son. Shout hallelujah. God planned your life out of his pleasure. See, Ephesians 2:10. He said, for we are the workmanship of God, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Not what you think you want to do. Good works which he has foreordained, that you may walk in it. So what do? You must identify the good works he has foreordained for you. Any other thing you do, apart from the good works the Lord has foreordained for you, is not established. Hebrews chapter 11. So God has planned your life. Say, God has planned my life. Oh, come on, shout it. God has planned my life. Come on, roar it. God has planned my life. Shout, it's a beautiful life. Come on, lift your right hand and shout, it's a beautiful life. Say, it's a glorious life. It's a life of success. Say, it's a life of success. It's a life of greatness. God has planned your life. He has planned your life. Even when it comes to man, see, God, you know, God has not planned your life for lack. He has not planned your life for defeat. No.
Let me show you something in Genesis. Genesis 1 verse 26. 1, 2, go. Hallelujah. You know, anytime you are struggling to exercise your dominion mandate, you are out of God's perfect plan. Because of the corruption that entered the world, man, instead of walking in abundance and profit, man is struggling with losses. Man is not made to be enslaved by anything. The moment your life enters into the dimension of slavery, you've moved out of your dominion mandate. You should walk in dominion. Now, a lot of people are not taking the pain to understand and know how to exercise themselves or to exercise dominion. Now, for example, if you are born of God, you must desire to grow in prosperity God's way. When we decide to use the system of the world into the place of prosperity, we are going to struggle. And for God to bring you into that place of prosperity, God knows that there has been corruption. God knows that you can't wake up one day as a born again to walk fully in abundance by kingdom principles. So he takes us through training of his word so that when you arrive in that place, it will be yours. You must be walking with borrowed revelation. When you come to church meetings, the things I'm sharing with you, they are hewn out of my understanding. When you don't go back home to give yourself to those words, to meditate, to think on them, to add them to your living, they are just, and you are just talking, and they are just borrowed understanding. It's not yours yet. Maybe I will say out of conviction, no matter the matter, I will not fail. Now, you may say, I cannot fail. It's good. It's good to say it. It's good to go home to say it. But it's not enough. You must understand it. Else, you will say it for 10 years. And the more you are growing, the more you see that you, failure becomes a reality to you. Because you are not working in understanding. So you must work in understanding. Now, one thing God gives to us is his word to train us. Now, as God's word is training you into the place of abundance, what one virtue you have is long suffering, and it is also patience, it's also contentment. So you are growing and understand, but from the period where abundance becomes yours to the time you were not having that abundance manifesting, what you need is contentment. Contentment will not force you to cut off your head. Contentment is for your benefit. It's for you, not for God's. God's work beyond your means and your means. God's love. But with you, contentment. Contentment will not cause you to go and rent. You know, you just got married. You go and rent five bedroom apartment. One for your shoe, one for your shirt. Another for your gaming center. I need a gaming center. Sometimes you have to refresh our minds. So I need a gaming center. Meanwhile, what your faith can do is maybe some two-bedroom or some three or some chamber and whole self-contained. You say, no, I don't live small. I live big. Living big is not what you've bought. It's what you've done for the Lord. Is the size of what you've done for the Lord. The world will not tell you that because it is not the language of the world. Notice, there is the language of the world and there is the language of our kingdom. For us, our language of faith is to subdue kingdoms.
for the Lord. But that's not the language of the world. Hallelujah. So God has made you for dominion. All of you read Genesis 1:26 once again. 1, 2, go. Mm-hmm. To verse 28. Uh-huh. I'm not hearing some voices. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Mm. Glory. Verse 26. God spoke, let us make human beings in our image, make them reflecting our nature, so they can be responsible for the fish in the sea, the birds in the air, the cattle, and yes, earth itself. Ha ha. And every animal that moves on the face of earth. God created human beings. He created them godlike, reflecting God's nature. He created them male and female. God blessed them. Now look at the blessing. God's blessing to man is not carrying houses to give man. God's blessing to man is not carrying cars to give to man. No, God's blessing to man is giving man his word. So God blessed them. Thank you, Lord. God blessed them. God blessed them. And in blessing them, he said, prosper, reproduce, fill earth, take charge. Prosper. He says, prosper, reproduce, fill earth, take charge. You say this after me. Prosper.
Prosper.
You say, I prosper.
I prosper.
He says, prosper,
I prosper.
Reproduce,
I reproduce.
Fill earth. You don't take charge like this. Prosper. Reproduce. Fill earth. Take charge. Hey, take charge. Hey, take charge. Palaba sata kabaya. Korabakatarabha. I take charge. I prosper. I prosper. I fill earth. I reproduce. I prosper, I reproduce, I fill earth, I take charge. This is my mandate. This is my mandate. This is my mandate. This is my design. This is my blessing. Yeah, you know, man corrupted it by Abraham stepping in the scene. All that God did was he moved Abraham out of his father's house. When God wants to start something big out of you, he takes you out of your comfort zone. He takes you out, he brings you out to a large place. When Abraham was going, he didn't know where he was going, but he trusted God. Where is your confidence? I told him, I said, don't trust your salary. Don't trust it. Don't trust it. God did not design you for salary. He designed you for something bigger. Prosper. Reproduce. Fill earth. Take charge. Take charge. Take charge. Man of God, take charge. Take charge. When it looks like things are not going the way God designed it, don't get discouraged. Don't give in. Are you sure you are here? Don't get discouraged. Don't give in. He has given us a word, and that word is enough. Hebrews 11:3. He said, for by faith we understand how the aeons, how the worlds were made. By faith, we understand. So we understand that the word, the aeons, were framed by the word of God. I was telling the last time that don't ever be quoting that same, that song, be singing that song. Don't know how, but you did it. No. We know how we did it. By faith. Hallelujah. I said, we know how we did it. By faith. By faith. We know. We don't live a guess life. No, we don't guess. We get it right. We get it right through the word of God. Through the word of God. We are not assuming. Man of God, don't think that Christ's common community, we are assuming. Don't think it. No, we know what we are doing. We know what we are about. We started not today. We've been working at it. Very soon, all eyes will see. It's only a matter of time. We are raising men, raising giants, raising champions, giving birth to men that prosper, men that reproduce, men that fill the earth, men that take charge. Kabashalabaha. We are working on something. So we understand how the worlds were framed. By the word of God. We understand. The word frame is the word katatizo. It means to repair. It means to reproduce. It means to prepare. Hallelujah. It means to mend. It means to adjust. To correct. That was what God used. In Genesis 1. He said, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. How can God create something to not be in form and to be void? No. It means when God created the heavens and the earth, it was perfect. But something happened. That distorted the creation of God. But this is God. Hebrews says we understand. He said God came to repair. He corrected the earth. He corrected it. How did he do it? By word. By word. By word. Sometimes you joke with the word of God. Don't joke with God's word. It's a tool to repair. It's a tool to prepare. It's a tool to create. The adversary brings in doubt and you accept it. No. No. You are affecting your future. Go for God's word. Take God's word. Then you put that word in your mouth and then you prophesy. You know what Paul calls the word of God? Paul calls God's word Mahara, which means sword. Sword. The word is a sword. Are you sure you are here? It's a sword. It's a sword. You can cut through your destiny through God's word. You can cut off anything that's not in line with God's word. It's a sword. The Greek word is Mahara. We have that word. We have that word. You take charge of God's word. You speak your way through. When was the last time you woke up from morning angrily declaring things? Declaring things. Calling things that be not as though they were. Bringing them into being. Commanding things to be in being. To be in existence. God didn't look at the chaos around him to cry. No. It's the same way. You must understand it. Your life has been designed. Your life has been programmed. What God programmed is good and perfect. So anything that is not good and perfect surrounding your life, don't give in to it. Repair. Hey, man of God. I said repair. Man of God. I said repair. I said correct it. I said correct it. Prepare. Prepare that future. We are not afraid of the future because God has said it. We take advantage of God's word and then we set that future alive. We set it aflame. We put it in order. If it's not working, we know how to make it work through the speaking of God's word. Through the speaking of God's word. That's why this month is a month of prophecy and praise. All right. Are you sure you are here? We are going to prophesy things into being. You're going to speak things. You will not be quiet anymore. No, you will not be quiet anymore. This month, prophesy. Prophesy. Declare God's word over your life. Declare God's word over your morning. Declare God's word over your world. Declare God's word in your environment. Declare God's word. Declare God's word. You are a prophet of God. You are a priest of God. Release the word of God. Are you sure you are here? Don't look at me quietly. Begin to release words. What is not right in your life? What is not correct in your life? You don't correct it by looking. You correct it by prophecy, by prophesying, by speaking it into being. Rabaha. Ferosh. No, you are not speaking like a prophet. You are not speaking like a prophet. You are not speaking like a priest. Concerning your finances, you can repair it. You can repair it. Don't settle for less. Don't settle for less. That's not a condition you want. That's not a condition you want. Do you want that condition? That's not what you want. You want something better. Something better. Because you are made. You are made by God for the best. For the best. Repair. Repair. Correct. Prepare. Finish your world. Finish it. What is lacking? You can supply it through words. You can supply it through words. You can call for that favor. You can call it forth. Get angry. Release the word of God. Say, where the word of a king is, there is power. You are a king. You are a king. You declare, I will never beg. I will never beg. I will never beg. I have helpers. I have helpers. Oh, I live in abundance in the name of Jesus. Why must you owe? What I hear that some of the brothers owing, I say, how? You don't owe. You don't have to owe. It's an error. Come on, lift your voice. I'm fulfilling purpose in the name of Jesus. I'm fulfilling purpose. I'm fulfilling purpose in the name of Jesus. I'm a wondrous sign. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I'm a sign and a wonder. I walk in victory. I walk in victory. I attract the best. I attract the best. I attract the best. In the name of Jesus, I flourish. I flourish. I flourish. I flourish. By the power of the Holy Ghost, I flourish. I flourish. I walk in wisdom. I know what to do in this situation, in this challenge. I know what to do. The wisdom of God is at work. The wisdom of God is at work. I get it right. I get it right. Don't just pray in tongues. Prophesy. Prophesy. Declare the word. Declare the word. Declare the word. Declare. Release the word of God. What do you see that you don't like? You can correct it with the word of God. It's called Mahara. It's called speaking. You are a soldier. You are a soldier. We speak for the word. We speak for the word. Libretis. Fepatos. You are excellent. Call for that excellence. Call for that excellence. In the name of Jesus. Shalabasotalaya. Come on, prophesy. Come on, declare. Come on, declare. Come on, declare the word of God. Come on, speak God's word. Come on, speak for the word of God. Come on, speak for the word of God. Set things in order. Speak it forth. Speak it forth. Speak it forth. Speak it forth. Prophesy. He said, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein. To meditate is to think, is to declare, is to matter, is to roar, is to shout, is to shout. Shout for the word of God. Oh, that soul you've been trying to reach out to, you can repair their mindset. You can repair through the word of God. You can do it. What is in your life that you don't like? You can correct it with God's word. Man of God, you can. Hey! Hey! Come on, speak the word. 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 You can repair that business. You can repair that business. You are working a company. Your senior colleague has been maltreating you. And you know that's where God wants you to be. You can repair it. You can repair that relationship. You can declare. You can set things right. In the name of Jesus. What is going on in your family that is not right, you can repair. The health of your mother. The health of your sister. You can repair it. That stubborn child in your world. That stubborn child. You can repair their life. Come on, you can declare it. Young and rich. Young and blessed. Come on, let him say. Relegara Masaya. Velosh. Come on, speak. Come on, prophesy.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Come on. Now begin to thank the Lord. Begin to thank the Lord. Begin to thank the Lord. Come on, lift your two hands. Begin to praise him. Begin to praise him. How about praise him? Tangible results. Come on, praise him. Come on, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise him. Come on, praise him. Give him thanks. Give him praise. Thank you, Lord, for the abundance. Thank you, Lord, for the transformation. Thank you, Lord, for the victory. Thank you, Lord, for the increase. Thank you for the change. Thank you for the repair. I praise your name. I praise your name. I praise your name. I praise your name, Jesus. I praise your name. I praise your name. We give you praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.